You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Coming to Northeast Wisconsin live from the Civic Media Studios and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor. Begin the day with a friendly voice, a companion unobtrusive. And here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. Hour number two of Mino and the Mayor. Brisk Wednesday morning, 41 in Green Bay, 45 in Hamilton, 47 in Oshkosh. For everybody listening to 98.3 FM WISS, and of course in the Civic Media app, we still got an award to give out today. Your sister's not eligible. For the person listening the furthest away on the Civic Media app, they're getting a couple of t-shirts.
Why isn't she eligible?
That's a radio thing. No family members are ever eligible to win a prize. Right, Todd?
That's correct. All of our prizes are that way.
And I changed the rules. Okay, go ahead.
No, you. Oh, wow. Yeah, let's call Sage at home and see what.
Jim. Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Get the look you want for your home with customizable windows and doors from Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. The durability of materials gets tested. They open and close the doors, latches, and shades tens of thousands of times to ensure they last for years to come. Pella offers custom colors and innovative features like shades between the glass. That's cool.
That is cool. And you don't have to dust them.
That's really cool. Mm-hmm. Right now, get zero interest up to 36 months. Certain restrictions apply. Ends October 31st. Get started today at PellaWI.com. Joining us right now, Selena Darrow, Rooted In Incorporated. And I think this is something. I'm just going to read your mission statement, okay? To strengthen the health and wellness of the greater Green Bay community by fighting food insecurity and mitigating food waste. Vision, improving local food access from seed to table. Values, we take action by forming strategic partnerships that combine resources, knowledge, and expertise to develop our regional food system while providing a sense of belonging with a cohesive group of change makers. Local food access. We believe local food access is essential for communities to thrive, ensuring that everyone has access to fresh and healthy food options that improve community health and reduce environmental impact. Education. We provide knowledge and skills to ensure a sustainable future, as education is the most powerful tool for personal and social development. Equality. We treat everybody with respect regardless of gender, race, religion, age, sexuality, or political views by valuing diversity and inclusivity, which fosters equal opportunities for all.
There. Thanks for coming in. And we.
Thanks so much for having me.
Hey, Johnny, Todd, this happens a lot. We have a guest walk in and they go, do you remember me? And she, oh yeah, it's just we went to Atlanta together.
Oh my gosh!
You were saying, Selena, that was 10 years ago
We
went down to Atlanta because we were advocates for a very similar program that you're talking about, the Whole Food Desert. It was Live 54218, five
Correct.
Servings. That healthy zip code in the United States is what we wanted, and the 54218. Five servings of fruits and vegetables, and the one was 1 hour of screen time, 8 hours of sleep. But it was kind of a healthy zip code. And the thing that we talked about, this food desert, is when it's easier to find an orange soda than an orange,
That's
you got
right.
problems.
Exactly.
And how are things going? That was 10 years ago we went down to Atlanta to really go to a conference, a U.S. conference. It was a good conference we went
yes,
to.
Yes, it was.
And how are things here?
Well, unfortunately, we're still struggling with the same issues, and it's actually worse than it was 10 years ago.
Wow. Why?
Well, I guess the part of the problem is that our diet is so focused on ultra-processed foods, and I learned that quite frankly through working in the food manufacturing industry, and I completely changed my diet working in this industry because I was seeing that the industry in general has been created to addict us to food, not cigarettes. Cigarette companies bought up food manufacturing companies in the early 80s. And now the next generation is addicted to ultra-processed foods. And so, you know, after the pandemic, I built service into my business model for my consulting company, Culinary Innovations. And last year, I started volunteering for another nonprofit and got to a point where there was like a devil and angel on my shoulders and just felt driven that if I started my own nonprofit, what if in a year? What could I do given my lived experience in the food industry? And I was a single mom for 20 years.
Wow.
So I struggled in poverty, the root cause, basically, of food insecurity. So I was on WIC and EBT and Badger Care and, you know, struggled. And for 20 years, it took me, you know, that much time to get out mm-hmm. of poverty. But now I feel like I just have so much skills and so much knowledge and culinary focusing rooted in on teaching people how to cook again and giving them the tools.
All right. That sounds great, but that's not eureka. I mean, right?
Correct.
I think we know that natural foods are maybe better than processed foods.
Right.
I mean, you've studied it like no one else, but what is it going to take? I mean, is it do we find these companies that a Big Mac and then we don't tax the companies that serve a salad? I mean, how's this going to work? Finally make a change? Because we're talking about it and I agree with everything you've said.
Yeah. So there's a groundswell. Last week, Senator Ron Johnson held an American Roundtable on Nutrition. It was a 4-hour seminar and I'm only about 3 hours into it. But really, the solutions are here. Our government needs to make major changes. We need to start focusing on local foods, making it more affordable for people to buy local foods. Our farmers are struggling. There are 2 and 3 jobs to make it, but they believe in what they're doing. And about a year and a half ago, I just started going to the farmers markets and talking to vendors and artisans who are trying to make their living. And they have amazing stories. And I just felt so inspired by that I started getting their products and creating local recipes. And my dream for 10 years now has been to create a local recipe database. And I'm thrilled to say we have one our website on Rooted In, because the change has to start with the individual. I think doctors just want to prescribe a diet for everyone, but truly wellness is an individual thing. And so we have, you know, ultra local. We understand how important it is, one side of the spectrum. And then we have the other side that is heavily eats ultra processed foods because they don't know any differently. But I believe what is in the middle, what is wellness and nourishment for all?
Mm-hmm. I got to say one thing, though, about you said about the cigarette manufacturers. Okay, I never had an urge. I don't care if you have the Marlboro Man or whomever. I never had an urge to smoke for whatever reason. Okay. But, and Jim and I talk about this, some of the most talented people you'll find will do a commercial for a cheeseburger and make that cheeseburger look so good, it's incredible, where you physically, your mouth waters, and everybody needs to eat. Do you know what I'm saying? So it's a tough battle. What you said about the addiction, they're trying to get people addicted to that kind of food. It's tough because people on the inside really want that kind of food.
Well, and I will say, I mean, I went to UW Stout. I majored in hospitality and tourism management, and then I switched to food systems and technology. But I was in the School of Home Economics. My first job in the corporate world was I was a home economist for Good Humor Breyers, an ice cream company, right? But we've been convinced as a country that we don't have time to cook. We haven't been taught to cook over the last 30 years. We can just run to the grocery store and pick up whatever we need. But truly, I believe there is magic that happens around the dinner table. And it's part of Rooted In's mission to bring that magic back to this community.
Cool.
Yeah, I think you're really on to something with cooking. I mean, that's a fun family event. Or even have your friends over to cook. And, you know, you have your friends over for dinner. But to come and cook is a cool thing. And I really like if you can buy local. There's a whole lot of economic reasons to do that. We'll get to that later. I want to ask you, we're talking about the government's role in this, not Ron Johnson on the federal side. What about the local municipality? What kind of things can they do for this to make sure we have healthier food? I'm glad that WIC is allowing farmers to use your card at the farmers market.
Absolutely.
I mean, that was a good move.
It was an amazing move. Well, one thing we did last year was we partnered with the Brown County Community Gardens program.
That's a good program.
And there's 13 sites around Brown County. And what I ended up doing was going and gleaning or harvesting excess produce after the gardens closed to the renters. And I got about 600 pounds all by myself.
Oh, wow.
And so what I did was bring that produce to some of the food shelters. And what I found was that the produce was still going to waste. And so for me, it was like, well, the only solution is to use that to make meals. So that was the start and the research for our Cooking for the Community program. So in February of this year, we started making individual to-go meals at our office, which is at Trinity Lutheran Church. And so far this year, we've made over 3,000 pounds or individual meals that have been donated to food pantries in Green Bay.
And as part of it's from the produce that would have gone to waste otherwise?
Absolutely.
Wow, that's awesome.
Are your meals frozen?
Yes. So we freeze the meals.
It was TV dinner day, I don't know, a month ago. We were talking about, Johnny and I remember that when we were kids. I don't know if those are as popular, but... You know, that's
that healthy. Was a treat for us.
Yeah,
right.
You know, people nowadays yeah. talk about
the
poor kids.
Steak.
Oh, yes, right. Remember I mentioned that? That was my favorite.
Mine too.
Yes.
But,
did you have a TV tray?
Yes, sir.
But the frozen foods that you're supplying, healthy, good tasting. I mean, tell me about what you're putting together with these products.
Yeah. So through my culinary business, I'm able to get just. I have a ton of friends in the industry. So I work food shows for my business. And so I get literally we're spending no money on food. And what if you would come to our office, we literally have a mini food pantry in our office now. We have three freezers, two refrigerators, there's shelves full of food because, you know, my friends have been so generous with donations. So really, our only cost at this point is on the packaging. But we've compared what we're doing. So for about 17 cents a pound or one meal, compare that to a Quick Trip meal that someone may buy for $5.99. I mean, we're averaging about 17 meals for that same price.
Wow. Okay. So in terms of moving the needle, and I'm a little disheartened, I don't know what the right word is, that things aren't better after 10 years. Because I thought we were kind of leaning into that a little bit.
Yeah, I'm surprised on that too, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
And I just think that one of the things we talked about as a strategic plan is to really work on the youth, not so much the adults, because they may, I don't know.
Set in their ways?
Well, and I think kids really care. I think adults
they're more
are busy.
Aware of,
remember that guy talked about how people drive through and get 10 cheeseburgers or something at the dollar menu, and it's like, you know, that's crazy. That's
it
not a
crazy.
Meal.
Or like
exactly.
when I try to order six hot dogs at the concession stand.
Go through the side door. Hey,
oh,
we're going to be...
I want to stick around.
Talk
stick
to you
around.
About some other Selena things that we
Darrow,
can do.
Selena Darrow, Rooted in Ink, improving local food access from seed to the table. Interesting stuff. Back after this. Hey, welcome back. Selena Darrow, Rooted in Incorporate. Say it. I always get it wrong. I'm sorry.
Rooted in.
Rooted in ink.
Rooted in ink. And what exactly does that mean?
Not like ink.
Not I-N-K.
Right.
I-N Incorporated. Rooted in Incorporated.
You got her, Otter.
Okay. Just during the break, talking about fascinating stuff. Jim, take and run with it.
Well, we were talking about this food insecurities, access to food, but the bigger issue might be just knowledge of food.
And, absolutely.
And you say in the 30 years it hasn't gotten much better. We didn't learn how to cook. We don't know the whole farm-to-table concept. In defense of people, they've been very, very busy. Mm-hmm. I mean, people are working two jobs. People, kids in soccer. There's 80 extracurricular activities that you can choose your kid to go in now. When Johnny and I were in school, there were like five.
Two. Well, Little League and...
Well, there was band, you know. And,
oh, yeah, but there was, other than that, there was...
But there's just so many things, and I think people have just lost that. And it's convenient to go to fast food.
Right.
And that's why nobody would open up a restaurant without a drive-through, you know. Most people... You're going to change that dynamic. And tell us about this whole educational access that you're thinking about.
And your plans.
Yeah. So about 6 months ago, I was asked, what is the big dream? And I said, a building. And I actually kind of scared myself because I'd started this nonprofit over a year ago and had a mission statement, but like hadn't really connected with the passion that I felt. Always been very, very concerned about food insecurity in our community, ran the test kitchen at Bird's Eye Foods. So we partnered with the new community shelter. We had adopted Fort Howard Schools, our snack buddy.
Yeah.
So I had kind of lost that connection. But, you know, now I know what the big dream is. And the big dream is to create the Rooted In Community Culinary Center. And so our center will be unlike any food pantry in Green Bay. We will not stock ultra-processed foods in our food pantry. And we will teach people how to cook again. I'm calling it the chef's table dining room. And we will work with groups of people to come in and teach them how to cook again, how to use knives, how to set themselves up for success, and to teach them recipes that meet their wellness needs.
I think that's great. And that's for everybody.
That's for everybody.
I work at the new community shelter. On Tuesdays, we have a cooking class, but it's for our residents, right? We have 118 people that live there, and they're there either from 2 months to 2 years, I guess. But it's amazing what they don't know. And
right.
You've got to really be just, you got to start pretty basic with
exactly.
some people. But if you're willing to do that, you can really build. And it's amazing what you can make out of 5 or 6 products. You know,
that's
you look
right.
at these recipes, there's ingredients aren't like 18, like, you
right.
know, except Indian food. But if you just have a very basic, it's amazing what you can do. And then eventually we're going to take them shopping.
Right.
Because people, I don't know, kids haven't shopped with their parents. Didn't you always get dragged along with your parents grocery
oh, yeah,
shopping?
It was great.
Loved it. Yeah.
Oh, God,
didn't?
I loved it. But Johnny yeah. and I do, we you know, kind of a pinky swear, we stay on the perimeter of the store.
That's right.
We were pretty good about that. But there's so much to learn. And tell me, what's the process on this? The progress and how can we help?
It almost goes back to the real old, we might want to call it a corny statement, but you know, give somebody a fish and they'll eat for a day. Yeah. Teach them how to fish and they'll
That's right.
eat for life.
That's right. And I say that all the time. Like, part of our mission for Rooted In is that we do things that are sustainable. So as the executive director, I'm always checking myself against our mission, our vision, and our values. So our programs and projects, do they support long-term solutions? And I truly believe that this community culinary center is a solution. Quite honestly, I've read so much about the problem across our country, and I want to change it here in our community and make us well again.
That's incredible. That's
besides
wonderful.
Teaching people how to cook and how to buy right and, you know, this versus that, yet it's the same taste. This meal planning is something I think people, again, I'm not making excuses, but I'm defending people a little bit. People are so busy they don't meal plan
right.
like our parents did.
Right. And it's,
well, our moms didn't work.
Right.
they did
Let's
have
be
no.
honest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, part of it too is like, I'm a busy
I
lady.
I wouldn't say that to my mom.
I don't mean that they came out wrong.
She's listening.
Not that they don't work, but they didn't have a job outside the house.
Right.
Most.
Okay.
That's all
that's
I'm saying.
True.
They
right.
worked their butts off.
Yeah, they did.
Yes. Okay.
Okay. But they did meal plan, you know, and I think they
okay,
were.
Okay. I got a text here from Sarah. Spam's on the perimeter of the grocery store? I'm kind of a spam fanatic.
Oh.
I know, right? That will not be
Thanks,
in your.
Sarah.
Okay, but like Johnny said, you know what? Tell us about what you're going to be doing, when you're going to roll this thing out, how we can help you.
Yeah. So I actually just have seated a new board of directors. So we are orientating our new board this weekend. And so our long-term plan is to start fundraising to build this facility. In the meantime, you know, we're a new nonprofit organization. No one gives you a playbook when you start a nonprofit. You know, I still have 2 other jobs to support this, but I'm 1,000% invested in this. Mm-hmm. And we need the support of our community. I'm thrilled to have Andrea Warner as our president. She's a chief population health officer at Amplify. And so it's important to me to build strong partnerships across our community so that we can all work together. This facility isn't just going to be a Rooted In facility. It will be a collaboration between other social service agencies because, let's be honest, right. the root problem here is poverty. Homelessness, lack of education, they're not in silos. Handing someone a bag of food is just a Band-Aid. What we have to do, like you said, John, is teach people how to fish
right.
and
yep.
give them that power back.
I think that power will be so wonderful for them. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Versus, and love the food pantries around here. They do a wonderful service. But for somebody to have the knowledge and the backing and the support that you would give them, I think is cool. I think a lot of people would jump at that chance.
Well, and just think about what happens around a table. Like in doing my research, I researched the Brown County CHIP, and social cohesion is a focus for health in our community.
Oh, totally.
And think about what happened during COVID.
Yeah,
we were all isolated.
Right.
And so like I'm an outgoing, I get my energy by being around people. And I just saw such a dramatic shift in my personality after we, now like a year and a half after COVID, like I'm alive again. I'm feeling energized. And that type of feeling, it, you can't put words to that when you're sitting around a table, especially with children and families. It, like I said, it's the magic that happens.
That's awesome. I love what you're doing. There's a lot in that, but you know, it's going to be a piece of time, and it's not that difficult to get there, but somebody's got to lead it, and that's you.
I think it's
phenomenal.
Do
you got a website or something we can jump on?
Rooted in Inc. RootedInInc.org. We're on Facebook. We're on LinkedIn. We're on Instagram.
Okay.
We are launching a new website in about a month from now.
Right.
Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, keep us posted.
Amazing.
This is important.
Absolutely.
Stuff. I think this is fantastic.
Yeah,
love your energy and enthusiasm for something like this. That's what you have to have to begin with.
Right.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Stay in touch, okay?
Absolutely.
All right. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit of what's going on with the mortgage rates in the Moving with the Malcourse segment back after this.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
From the Apple Store or Google Play Store. And text the studio directly, all from the Civic Media app. Download it today. Now, once again, here's Mino and the Mayor, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, welcome back. Mino and the Mayor. Hey, that was really interesting.
Yes.
She was great. I think they've got a great point person for that organization. I think it's something that sounds really cool.
Jim, we had a lady on before you. We're going to talk housing, which is very, very important. She was more into the food insecurities of our community and just the whole education. And in defense of people, people are busy and they just don't spend the time to really lean into certain issues.
Right.
And she talked a lot about food insecurities and what we can do and how, not easy, but a path to being healthier, planning meals, buying right. And you, young man,
Jim Schiedlow, Rate Mortgage, the Moving with the Malcourse segment. Where are they, in like Brazil or someplace? I mean, they're world travelers.
Right. I don't know if we're going to be out of town. I don't know where.
Yeah. All right. Well, Jim, it's great to have you here. And this is one of the hot topics going in the country for the last few weeks, really. Will the Fed, you know, move some things around? Will that affect the actual rates for, you know, a young couple looking to get a mortgage? Just going to throw it at you. Where are we at right now?
Right, right. So recently we had the Fed did reduce the Fed funds rate by 0.5%, which created a stir in the market. Rates did come down. They did do an uptick slightly after that. But I think we're going to see a lot of sideways movement to the end of the year. They're going to remain pretty steady. And I think, you know, towards the end of the year, the Fed's going to probably do another rate reduction. Going into next year, I think we're going to see rates come down some more. So.
Everybody was talking about, will the election influence the rates? Have you seen anything along those lines?
It's hard to say. I don't think so. It's more market-driven.
Yeah.
No, really. The election obviously plays into the market, but really it all depends on what the market does based on what's going on.
Really, the market moves the needle. I mean, we live in, we're capitalists, right? It's a free market system that we have here. Last night on the debate, I don't know if you watched that. I mean, housing obviously came up because it's like Johnny said, everybody's talking about it. But it was really the supply and demand thing that's really going to move the price of things. I mean, if there's no apples, they're crazy expensive. And if there's a gazillion apples, the price goes down.
Right.
Housing, it's just like, and we were talking about the debate last night. I don't want to spend too much time, but how are we going to, they have two different ideas. Someone wants to build on federal land and other people want to give money to help first time buyers. And two interesting concepts. You know, I, of course, have my own opinion. Do you think that's the ultimate answer?
I mean, obviously the inventory is very low. New construction's way behind where it needs to be
right
to keep up with it. I think with the lower rate
environment, when that starts to happen, a lot of people have been sitting on their houses because they have a real low rate right now, might decide to start moving on, putting their house on the market, which may increase the inventory that's out there for people to buy.
Are we at the point now with the interest rates ticking down of refinancing? You seen that?
Yes. You figure over the last 24 months, let's say, the rates have been at a higher point, which people purchased in that rate market. So now we've come down substantially. You figure rates are in the upper sevens, even in some cases eights. Now your rates are in the low sixes, upper fives, depending on loan program.
Yeah, so, $300,000, that's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money.
Well, you know what's funny, though, is that it's almost like gas prices. Like when they were up like 460 or something, oh my God. And now they're around $3, which 10 years ago would have seemed so high.
Right.
It's almost like, you know what I mean?
Right.
It's kind of like how you perceive it versus what it is.
Exactly. Yeah.
But, and I don't know what's fair, what a good interest rate is, but again, someone who's been in this game for, 30 years, 5-6 sounds fair to me, but I don't know. I mean, the bank's got to make money, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously there's margins and that stuff that are factored in. You know, the rates that we give out to the clients, well, whatever's baked in up above, to determine the rates. Across the board, when you're looking from one bank to another bank or lender to lender, all rates are very similar, across the board. You might have a slight difference from one lender to another.
But you got to look at the closing costs.
Exactly. Fees.
That's tough. They kind of ding you on that kind of hard. I don't
one
care
thing,
for that.
Yeah, one thing I always tell clients to watch out for, because they'll get this rate quote of whatever
we're
it is.
Going there. Well, here, bring a check for $2,200.
Right. And I explained to them, like, oh, you got to be paying for that. And I tell them to get an estimate, loan estimate based on cost and everything. And of course, that's what it is. They're paying for the rate.
Right.
And in an environment where the rates are trending downward, I don't advise paying for a rate because a good possibility that rate's going to show up eventually.
So you're talking points?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah.
So buying down the mortgage or buying down the rate. Yeah.
Yeah.
So rate mortgage, you have just a plethora of products.
Yes.
And
yes.
I forgot how many you have, but
it's a lot. I couldn't tell you offhand. It's a
right.
lot. Yeah.
And so someone could call you. We're thinking of buying a house. Is that where it starts with you? Or tell me, because I know the Melcors can find you the property. They're
right. Right. So. I've been in the lending world for 22, 23 years, roughly. So I've built up my own book of business, referrals, built a relationship with referral partners.
It's the only way you can really do it?
Right, exactly. So that's where it starts. You might get that referral from a realtor or a past client, a first-time home buyer looking to buy. They come in, I sit down with them, we discuss their budget, and get them all squared away. And then, of course, then pass them on to the realtor.
Right. And that's such an important step. And that's like what dads used to do. I mean, really back in the day. Or schools really don't teach as much about finance as they should. But what a great stop that is. Because you don't want to get in over your head. And I like 15-year mortgages. But 30, everybody says, well, take out a 30-year mortgage. The payment's less. But then just make one or two extra payments. Americans aren't really good at that. We're really good at forced payments. Yeah.
It's the American way. Put yourself in debt. So that's
it's fun to be out.
How do you think things are going to play out over the next few years? Because we're still in a little bit of a post-COVID era, aren't we?
Yes.
Is that going to go away and get back to whatever we want to call as normal for 5 years ago or something like that? Or was that impact so strong that that's residually going to carry on for a while?
I think it was real strong. I think it's going to carry on for a while.
Okay.
It's my opinion. Things that changed. I mean, COVID really changed how a lot of people do business tremendously. In the lending world, real estate world,
the construction world.
Exactly.
And that's one thing. When we talked with Ben and Deanna, I said, well, why aren't builders building these starter homes for, $150,000 or $170,000, whatever you want? And it's like, things are so expensive, it's hard to build to those levels anymore.
Exactly. Yeah. I know it's unfortunate that a good chunk of your first-time homebuyers that could afford a $150,000 house, they've been pushed out of the market.
Exactly.
So,
I mean, when I dealt with a lot of young first-time buyers. And because I got it from a young veteran, so I'd say, hey, I got a buddy who, you know,
sure.
You gotta, and they'd say, hey, we're cleared for 150, 160. And I'm like, well, we're going to look at some that are 130. It's like, oh, no, no, we don't want that. And I said, well, the 150, 160s are going for about 190 right now.
Right.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's the group that really needs some help. Those first-time buyers are the ones that really somehow need something to break through for them. Wouldn't you agree?
I agree. Yeah. I know. Go ahead.
I was going to say, one of the ways they can break through is and we talked about, God bless their parents, but if they're thinking of an inheritance, give it to them now.
Right.
Yeah. Because that will help, you know, going as a down payment. I mean, if you can get in with, you know, 25% down, you're going to get a hell of a lot better rate than
it makes
five.
A big difference. Yeah. I mean, then you're avoiding the private mortgage insurance,
right.
Which is an expense that can add up quite a bit. So, yeah.
What advice, if you had a son or daughter that was looking to buy a home for their first time, they're 24 years old, they got their job that they love, the whole thing, want to settle here close to mom and dad, get a nice little starter home, what advice would you give them?
Why are you smiling? Do you have that?
Yeah. Do you have that situation?
I don't have that situation. Oh, okay. I don't know. Unfortunately, I don't have any kids. So, obviously, really discuss with them their budget. You know, because there's numbers on paper when a person goes to get pre-approved. On paper, they could afford this, but really, can they afford that? You know, so when I sit down with a first-time home buyer, and let's say it was my own kids, you know, figure out your monthly budget. What do you spend on groceries, gas, you know, the essentials?
The basics.
And then really determine, okay, what can I afford for a monthly payment after that? That's what your pre-approval should be based on.
And then property taxes and where you're going to be or whatever.
Exactly. Yep.
Which is a big thing.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Yeah. They've gone up. Okay. So what we talk about these first-time home buyers, but people who have been in their house for a long time, and in the old days, you used to move like every 7-8 years. Now it's longer than that because one of the reasons people are staying in their house is because of their rate.
Right.
But let's say your house is paid off or that your rate is, I don't know, close to 5. It's at 3.5. I don't know. That does make a big difference. But if your mortgage isn't that much, it's really, you're not saving that much. You know what I mean? Like if your mortgage is, I got $60,000 left to pay on my house, and I don't, but that versus a $300,000 house. What does someone do if they say, look, we want to know what kind of money we can get on a house? Do they come and see you on a?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So if they have a house they're planning on selling and they have a pretty good idea. Say they already sat down with a realtor, figured out what they could sell their house for, what they're going to net after everything else is paid out. I'll sit down with them, go through their numbers, determine how much they want to put down for down payment, and then figure out their budget from there. A lot of times if I get somebody that's their second or third house and they're close to retirement, then I might even discuss with them a 15-year or shorter term so that way they're paying it off prior to retirement or, you know, so that way they're in a good place when they do retire.
But I thought what Jim brought up was a really valid point. So many, I mean, forever, basically, your parents would save. And then when they pass away, you know, Johnny gets X amount of whatever. And, you know, chances are Johnny's so old now that, okay, that's nice, but it's not as critical as it would have been, you know, 20 years ago.
Right.
I think Jim has a great thing there in regards to, When the folks, you know, the parents are like, okay, we've got this money set aside for you, and when we die, you get it, and hopefully it's going to be, you know, a long time from now, but why not let them enjoy it when you can watch them enjoy it?
Exactly. Yeah.
And take some stress out of their life, too.
It does. I do have a number of clients where the family already gives them their, you know, or assist, you know, helps them out in down payment, you know.
Because that can make the difference these days.
It can make the difference.
Yeah. And in terms of the building, are you seeing, you know, I mean, you're a mortgage banker. Is that picking up again? I mean, 2008, 2009, that slowed things down. Then COVID really slowed things down. It's like, you know, kind of like a little bit, we're our own worst enemy. We didn't keep up with the growth.
Right.
Can't blame them.
I know we do some stuff for the local construction company here in town, and they have quite a few projects going on right now where they're building. And it's starter homes. Oh. Obviously, they're still higher price.
Right.
But, you know.
But they're starter homes. Well, we would have considered our third home back in the day for the price.
Right.
Oh, that's exciting. That's good news.
Right.
That's really good news. Right. But you're right. It just seems like that supply chain and the price of certain building materials and everything went up during COVID to a point of, wow, it's made a big impact and still does.
Right, right. I know during that period of time, I had a couple of construction deals going on. And when the contractor had to come back and say, hey, we need to add another 50, 60 grand to your build because of materials. Wow. And and of course, it's never come back down since.
I had a guy who was a contractor and wonderful guy, and he went to build his own house, just totally his own contractor, whatever, whatever. And he had to kind of cover, heading into winter, cover the whole thing in like sheets of plastic and tarps because it was going to be 6 months before he could get trusses. Yeah. There was such a backlog for whatever reason on trusses, right?
Right. Yeah.
And
right.
he had like, and it's heading into winter. It's like, holy crap, my walls are up here because I thought they were going to be here next week. And it's going to be like after the winter before they could get them. That was really an unbelievable period.
Right. It was crazy. Pretty crazy.
Wow.
Getting a little bit better now, but with Rate Mortgage, you see it all. And I'm glad you're honest with your clientele. I mean, you get paid if they borrow money. But to be honest with them, because you don't want to, I mean, that's a terrible thing to lose a home. I want to talk, are there still cash buyers out there?
There are. Not as prevalent as it was maybe a year and a half, 2 years ago.
Yeah.
There still is. Yeah.
But that's got to be a pretty thin slice.
It is.
Man, who's got that money sitting around?
Exactly.
You? We're going to set a quick break. Jim, we're going to keep you around if that's okay.
All right.
Is that all right? All right. We'll be back more. Jim Shiedlow, Rate Mortgage, and our Moving with the Malcors. Ben and Deanna Malcor, back after this.
Mother's tired, she needs a rest. The kids are playing up downstairs. Sister's sighing in her sleep.
Good song, Todd. Hey, welcome back. We're with Jim Shiedlow, Rate Mortgage, and are moving with the Malcor segment. This is really interesting stuff because this is almost unprecedented in some ways, how you have to, for lack of better words, tiptoe through the minefield to make things work these days, trying to get a house with all the different variable things. So
exactly.
Your job has to be as tough as your job has been.
I'm surprised I still have hair on my head, to be honest with you. So,
but I got to tell one quick funny story, though. Yeah. We're talking about having money for a down payment, big down payment. And I've dealt with so many young Army guys, and they're like, hey, Mr. Mino, I'm re-upping. I'm getting this huge bonus and the whole thing. Like, that's phenomenal. Boy, they put that away. They're, yeah, I'm paying cash for this new truck. And I said, I told Jim how frustrating that was sometimes when you want to tell these guys, man, you get a good financial person, put this much here. And what did you say?
So back when I was in the Army on deployments, we'd come back. You got hazard pay, per diem. And you didn't spend any money while you're in deployment. Right. And what did I do? Bought a brand new car. So
here I'm telling you that story. And you're like, yeah, I did the same thing.
I did the same. Yeah.
With the variety of things that you offer, this arm where you take a little bit of a risk, is that still something that's out there that people look at?
I get, when the rates started going up at a very fast pace, that started becoming a topic of conversation. And I would discuss with clients, does it really make sense, in this environment? Now, if you know that the rates are going to start trending downward, well, then it's a good idea to look at it because you get a lower rate on the ARM products.
Right.
And then when the rates do come down, then put it back into a fixed 15, 20, or 30.
So it's timing almost.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. That's risky.
It's so risky. I can't remember the last one. ARM product I did for a client. It's been a while.
It's literally like rolling the dice and betting on what comes up.
I mean, we bet on the Packer games and NFL, but that's 10, 20 bucks. I'm not going to bet $300,000 mortgage.
No, exactly.
That's a little too much.
It's
for me.
Too much. Yeah.
You talked about the programs that you have, and I think if someone wants to see you, Jim, at Rate Mortgage, you have programs for veterans. Tell me some of the things that you offer there.
So, I'm a veteran myself, obviously, that was already kind of mentioned, but I do a lot of VA loans for veterans. I really like to work first-time homebuyers.
Yeah.
I mean, sitting down with them.
Absolutely.
Guiding them through the process, help them navigate, understand why they should do certain things, and really building that excitement for them through the process.
No question.
And of course, when they close, it's the best feeling.
That literally drove me out of the business in a certain way because I dealt with so many clients like that, the young veterans and everything, and they'd be so excited, and we put in a offer and go and get it, wouldn't get it. I think when I left, I was like 14 in a row that, you know, got turned down because there's like 18 offers. The worst feeling in the world is calling them and the wife answers, hello, because they know you. Hi, John.
Right.
And it's like, hey, we didn't get it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That just breaks your heart when they're so excited. There's nothing more exciting than getting your first home.
Yeah, exactly.
Quick question for you, though. You mentioned VA loans. Have they lightened up a little bit? Because I had a few, and it'd be a cracked window in a pane in the garage. It would red flag. Or peeling paint on a window frame. Red flag.
That hasn't changed.
That hasn't changed.
That hasn't changed.
I was hoping you'd say, oh, yeah, they've lightened up.
That's yesterday.
What I try to do is, in those situations, is work with the realtor that's working with the buyer and make sure that, okay, if they have a property they're really interested in, let's discuss it, make sure that, okay, is there peeling paint? Is there this or that? So that way they're not going into it. And because nowadays sellers aren't really willing to fix those things before.
No, they don't have to.
No.
Somebody else will buy it as is.
Exactly. So
I just really met you today. You're a super nice guy. It's nice that you give advice and say, look, I know, don't buy too much house because you never know. Some people can lose their job, one of you, and then what happens?
Right.
That you want to base it on one income, that would be really difficult. But, you know, maybe you're one house away from this house. Let's find something a little bit different. You know what I mean? I remember first house I wanted, my dad's like, I don't think so.
Right,
you know,
that's
I wanted a circular drive. He's like.
And a pony out front.
I remember him saying that. He goes,
I need a corral.
And I think he wanted to be nice to me. He goes, look, you're one house away from that. I was probably like four houses away from that. But it was just nice. He said, no, you got to look at something different. And I was obviously.
And it's one of those things I discussed too.
That's great.
You know, get the experience under your belt. Of home ownership.
Oh, man.
You don't have to have the best of the best at the beginning.
Right.
And then once you get that 5 to 10 years in under the belt with that house, now you got some experience and obviously life changes. So that way you can afford more. So,
right. Yeah. It's interesting. Home ownership. I mean, I live in an older neighborhood and people are like, oh, it'd be great to live in this neighborhood. They're money pits. I mean, they just are. And to get home ownership and understand that, you know, besides we talked about property taxes, you know, renters don't pay taxes. Well, yeah, they do. It's just, you know, it's built into their rent. But
you start,
and there's more maintenance on homes than I think people think.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, so, another thing, though, one last quick thing. We were talking about the young home buyers. But what about these older people or shouldn't even say older, but, you know, the ones that are, it's like their next step would be that real cool house, you know? They're holding off, aren't they?
They are holding off.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm seeing more and more people in that age range that they're, say, on their third house.
Okay.
And they just want to move.
Okay.
And of course, they have a lot more equity available with the market the way it is.
Right.
And they're taking that money and putting it into the new house.
Okay. So, but are the young kids ever going to get that? Do you see any sign? Because I hate with these kids paying $1,200 a month for rent.
Yeah, I don't see that.
Not yet,
changing.
Huh? No. Okay.
It's just not building equity, you know?
Right.
And again, I don't know that they're paying $1,200 for rent and putting $400 in their savings account. It's just hard to do in this country
because
there's
very
just
hard.
So many things you can buy.
I'm with the food and the whatever,
the toys. So,
Jim,
this is great
is
what you're
stuff.
Doing, Jim. Yeah. You're a good guy.
Really interesting stuff. I like how you present it in a real conversational manner versus, you know, so I would definitely recommend somebody come and see you at Rate Mortgage, Moving with the Malcors. Jim Sheedlow, thanks so much for being here. Thanks for your service to our country.
Yeah.
How many years were you in?
11 with the National Guard. So I had Army and a National Guard afterwards, so 11 total.
Which National Guard unit?
I was with the 107th Engineer Unit up in Upper Michigan.
Out of where? Escanaba?
Gladstone.
Gladstone? Well, same thing, huh?
Yeah, same thing. Pretty much. Happy Rock.
Nagani killed Gladstone the other night, like 38-7. Just so you know. Just so you know.
Right.
All right. Just throwing it out there. All right, Jim, thanks so much for being
here. Thank you very much for letting me here.
Quick break.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.